God's grace and his peace and his mercy, I pray, would be yours in Jesus' name. Amen. So this is the time of year when we think about those farmers' fields. Those fields last spring were empty and brown, and they were more than just wet with melted snow. They were a mess for quite a while. But as the fields eventually dried out, the farmers did start breaking the soil and planting the seeds. As springtime ended and the summer started, those fields started greening and growing. And then throughout those summer months, the plants grew ultimately to their full height, and the seeds and the grains began to form and to grow. The ears of corn started getting larger. The wheat started to form. The beans started to form. All the other stuff. And then we finally get to autumn. Those stalks, those plants are turning brown and they're dying because the harvest time has come. Those many seeds that were planted last spring have died. And quite frankly, who even thinks about them anymore? Right now, we're not thinking about those seeds that were planted in the springtime. They've been forgotten. Our thoughts are now focused on those seeds that were, not the seeds that were planted, but on the seeds that are now being born by those dead plants. The small, ugly little seed is dead. It's forgotten. But it has provided a blessing, a bounty. And we can celebrate God's generosity in the harvest of that gathering of all that fruit and food. I'd encourage you sometime this week, especially if the snow gets out of the fields, go drive around the countryside. Just take a break and watch the farmers working. You see all that machinery out there, and the farmers putting in time, bringing in that harvest. As you drive around, you'll see farmers working in their fields, and they're gathering all the many grains and grasses and whatever fruits and vegetables that there are here in this part of the country. You'll also see them, however, gathering all the dead stalks. In fact, the truth is, sadly, most of what comes out of the field is just the dead stalks, isn't it? We get a lot of harvest out of it, but the stalks from the corn, the plants from the beans, what happens to that? It gets thrown away in some form or another. In times past, it was often just stacked up in piles and just burned. But seeing all that harvesting going on, it can be a bit nostalgic. It can be an opportunity to take just some relaxing time, maybe after church this Sunday, and just see and remember the wonder of God's hand and how through his blessings that we often take so much for granted, he brings food to our tables and throughout the winter months to come sustains us and keeps us until the new planting and the new harvest. I think it's even interesting when you think about all the machinery and the diesel and the grease and all the metal and all the workers and all of that is handling your food. If you're moved to take that drive out in the country, I want you to think about something else too. I want you to think about three things Jesus said. Jesus said, the harvest is large, but the workers are few. He said he will send out his angels from every direction under the sky, and they will gather those whom God has chosen. And he also said, his winnowing shovel is in his hands, and he will clean up his threshing floor. He will gather his wheat into a barn, but he will burn the husks in a fire that can never be put out. Keep those three things in mind. You see, throughout the Bible, agriculture is often used as an example of how we should live, what our life will look like, and how we should live it. It's used to explain our lives here on earth, the trials of life and the temptations that come, as well as what happens after we die and what our lives will be like eternally. And that's what we're going to focus on today as we use the harvest as an example of that. So So let's start with the springtime. Springtime is a time of joy. We all crawl out of our houses and our homes, especially after last winter. That kept us cooped up for a bit too long. We get back out into our yards and our streets and our gardens and our fields. And with the dead of winter past, we're excited to get back out into that fresh air and the warm sunshine. And the birds return and they start singing again. And little critters of various sizes start scurrying about on the damp ground. Not long after that, smaller versions of those little critters start scampering about, clumsily making their way as they begin to grow. Springtime is a good time. It's a time of awakening and a new life as flowers start to bloom. And all of that makes you quickly forget the winter, no matter how rough it may have been. In many ways, springtime is an example of our own lives. We're born into a world where we don't know the trials that are yet to come. Like all those little critters that were born, they don't know what the winter was like, because they've never seen it. All they know is fresh green and sunshine. The knowledge of the cold winter just isn't there for them. That's what it's often like for us. It is like for us when we're born into this world. We don't know the trials that the world can sometimes bring. The plants that pop up new and fresh are only concerned with reaching up toward the sun. They do their best, but they do it best when they get that healthy dose of water poured over them. That helps them to grow. It's kind of like little kids, isn't it? Especially in the church. They're born into a world with really no knowledge of all the troubles that can come. Just like new Christians can come into church with no knowledge of how Satan will come at them and attack them. And sometimes from the most unsuspecting places. Where does our strength come from? What keeps us well-rooted? That healthy dose of water. It's in our baptism. That's what keeps us strong when the winds blow and the storms come. It's through our baptism that we are rooted in a foundation that will not crumble or break. That's what springtime is like. And that leads us into summertime. Summertime is an example of our lives as well. All those newborn animals start wrestling and playing. The young birds are trying out their new wings and getting that first bird's eye view of the world they are just learning to discover. And of course, they're fed well and they grow stronger every day. And then trials begin coming, but not too problematic. Everything can be solved by a night's rest and the dawn of a new day. Same thing for us, isn't it? As we grow physically, we learn some of the struggles of life, but it's nothing that mommy and daddy can't handle, and nothing so horrible that just a quick little nap won't fix it. We start spreading our own wings as we explore the world God has created for us. We also grow and are fed on all that plentiful food that is available to us. Food that changes over time, doesn't it? Little tykes, what do they get? First just milk, and then they get that wrong-colored paste mush goo. How many of you would eat that on purpose? But we give it to our kids. But that's what it starts out, right? It's this blender product. And then, you know, you start get your first tooth, and then you get your first Cheerio, and then you get your first McDonald's French fry, and you're hooked for life. But eventually you work your way up and maybe you get that just perfectly cooked charcoal grilled steak, or maybe a good piece of venison. Our food changes over time. New Christians experience some of the same stuff, don't they? When they're very young, or at least not so young in age, but young in the faith, life in Christ often, especially here in this nation, life can start out pretty easy. We're fed on the food that feeds faith, God's holy word, and through that we grow stronger every day. We grow in the faith as we're taught, ultimately going through confirmation in our church's tradition, right? And then we're allowed to come up here and get an appetizer of that real meal, the foretaste of the feast to come, the wedding feast of the Lamb in the Lord's Supper. We grow physically, we grow spiritually, and life goes on. And sometimes, especially when you're a teenager, it seems like it'll go on forever, right? When you're a teenager, you think you're immortal. And then after a while, you figure out you're not. It won't last forever. Just as summer has to come to an end, and the crops have to be taken in from the fields, so also life on this earth will not last forever. The day will come when there will be an ending. An end to this earth, an end to all life on this earth, in fact, an end to all of creation. There will be that final winter in this creation when all of this will die. And Satan's control over us, over the faithful, will be forever removed. We'll be taken to a new creation, a new heaven, and a new earth that is free from all the trials and the troubles that this earth often provides to us. It'll be a place of perfection and pleasure, peace, and joy. But we skipped a month, didn't we? See, before that final winter, that final judgment day, there's another season. We talked about spring, we talked about summer, but we jumped to winter. There's got to be an autumn. There's got to be a time between the life here and the life hereafter. And that's the time that Jesus calls the harvest. The question is, when is harvest season? When does it start? When does it end? I think the harvest time in the Bible is probably the most complex to really understand fully. At least the way Scripture describes it. We get spring. We get new in the faith. We get summer growing in the faith. And we get winter dying prayerfully in the faith. But the harvest season is what it talks about most, and I think that's the most complex to understand. So what I want to do is take you through the harvest, and I've divided up into two groups of three things. I want to talk about the harvest that makes people afraid, and the harvest that gives people peace. So the first one is let's talk about the things that people fear. The first is the harvest of the wicked. Those who do evil things ultimately will reap what they sow. Criminals ultimately get caught. Lies are ultimately found out. It never really works. Those who fill their hearts with bitterness and contempt live lives of bitterness and loneliness. They refuse to take to heart the golden rule, and they ultimately reap the repercussions of their conduct. They find that when they really need a neighbor, there's no neighbor left they haven't pushed away. They are the Scrooges of their own life story. That's the first one that often brings fear into people's hearts. That kind of harvest. The second is the harvest of the grave. We don't like this one. I don't see them so much around this part, but where I grew up and up north where I was, there's sometimes this little cemeteries just kind of pocked all over the countryside in various places, tucked away here or alongside a field there. And you know, as you see the harvest going on, like I said before, much of what is gathered is dead. Though the plants are full of grain and fruit, the plants themselves have died. They grew up healthy, they produced, but then they died. The harvest of the grave is what's left for those stalks. The harvest of the grave is that one thing that all of us have to face, because sin gets us and sin affects us and sin ultimately kills us. This is a harvest no one can escape. The grave will have its way with you, and that's a harvest that sometimes makes people afraid. And the third harvest that brings dread is the harvest of God's wrath. The end of the harvest will come, and all those dead plants harvested by the grave are cast away because they can no longer produce fruit and they have no value. They are refuse, and so they're cast away. For those who have rejected God and denied Him, the day will come when they are eternally lost. We all know, I have people in my own family who don't know about Jesus' love and care for them, or they've rejected the promise of salvation that he offers. And thoughts about these kinds of harvests and what's in store for them remind us of their future. And if you're like me, it bothers you. It troubles you. They plague us because we want them to know and trust in the truths and promises of Jesus. It's because of those people whom I know and you probably know that I am often reminded of a sermon I read. I call this guy one of my favorite heretics. He had some theological problems, but we still like him. His name was Charles Spurgeon, lived in the, I think, early 1800s. This is a quote from one of his sermons. He said, "If sinners will be damned, at least let them leap to hell over our bodies. If they will perish, let them perish with our arms wrapped around their knees, imploring them not to go. If hell must be filled, at least let it be filled against the teeth of our exertion. Let not one person go there unwarned and unprayed for." You see, our joy would be in all of those people we love getting safely home. That's what we want. We want them to be part of a harvest that gives them peace. And that's the next three that I have for you. The first is the harvest of the fields. That should bring us peace. The grains and fruits of the field are gathered into barns, and through this bounty, people are fed and nourished and strengthened. Through that harvest, we enjoy all the earthly blessings that God would give to us. In fact, blessings that are given to the faithful and the unfaithful, the good and the evil, aren't they? God shows his kindness and his grace to all people. All have the opportunity to see it and to know it. But that also means that when the time comes for you to stand before the throne of God, you are without excuse. The second harvest is the harvest of every Christian. Every Christian is simultaneously planting and harvesting. We plant when we share the good news of Jesus Christ to all people and pray for their salvation. We harvest as we see the planted seeds of God's word flourish and grow. When we see someone who is outside of the church, who has maybe never been in it, come to the truth of Jesus and begin joining us and learning about that truth, that's the exciting stuff. It's what you parents get to see as your children grow in the faith. They become productive members of the church. Our harvest is found just there when we see the unfaithful becoming faithful through God's power found in God's word. And the third harvest that should bring us peace is the harvest of Jesus. The day will come, a day we call Judgment Day. In the movies, Judgment Day is always scary, but for the faithful, it's not. For the faithful, it's peace. That day, the final day of creation's existence, on that day, all those who have died, as well as those who are still living, will be all gathered together. And then Jesus will separate the wheat from the chaff, the faithful from the unfaithful. The faithful he gathers not into barns, but into mansions, where the weeds of Satan and the thorns and thistles never touch us again. The harvest time for the faithful is a time of joy and prosperity and comfort and peace. And our hearts and minds should be rejoicing, brimming with the wonder that because you know you better than I know you, and you know how messed up you are. In spite of that, God still loves us and cares for us and desperately desires our salvation. God won't abandon his children. Farmers don't plant a field full of seed and then just leave it there to rot and abandon it. They want to get that crop in. They want their harvest. How much more a God who loves his children perfectly wants to get his children safely home? That is the joy you can find. If you just take a trek around the countryside sometime this week and watch the harvest coming in, knowing that Just as farmers planted seeds to be gathered, so God plants seeds which he will gather too. As you drive through the countryside, whether it's today or sometime during the week, think about this stuff. Let this stuff maybe tap your heart a bit and call you closer to walk with God for your own life, and maybe to make you have a bit more bold, a more bold and courageous proclamation of God's word and God's truths in what you say and what you do. But all of that, always through praying in Jesus' name, that we and all whom we love would ultimately be gathered up in that saving harvest that gets us safely home. I pray that for you and all those whom you love in Jesus' name. Amen.